The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. This is one of the most beautiful lines, in my opinion, of the New Testament. Because in this particular line, we see truly the identity of Mary revealed at its core and in many ways in its fullness. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Handmaid. It's a feminine kind of word for servant. And this is a rather important idea to keep in mind as we see throughout this liturgy. The entrance antiphon mentions doing the will of God. Our responsorial psalm mentions doing the will of God. And then, in this particular gospel, we see Mary carry out the will of God. And this is who she is. And there's a rather important point to remember here. It calls to mind this idea that Epictetus, a Stoic philosopher, had. He was a slave, so the lowest of the low, in the court of the Roman emperor. But something that he came to note as he tried to simply do what he could and do his duty in the midst of his life situation, he noted that in the court of the emperor, including the emperor himself, including everybody around him, the most powerful people in the world at the time, that he, Epictetus, a slave, was the freest of all of them. He was the freest because he willingly took on his burden. And in Mary, we see this same idea. She becomes the handmaid of the Lord, but she is the freest of all of us. She is the freest of all human beings. And yet, she was the most obedient. She was the one who did the will of God most perfectly. She was no rebel. She was no sinner. She instead carried out God's will for her life. Perfectly, without a second thought. And this is an important point for us. We turn to Mary because Mary is ultimately the most perfect of all of us. And she found freedom in not doing as she will, but instead her freedom was found in doing the will of her Heavenly Father. This is her true superpower, her gift, her beauty. Is fulfilled in this, that she came into the world for a specific purpose. Her Immaculate Conception was given to her to carry out this divine mission. She ultimately became the obedient Mother of God. It is in her desire to ultimately serve her Heavenly Father that she found the depths of true human freedom, which, as St. John Paul II put it, freedom is found not in doing what we want, but in doing what we ought, in doing what the Lord asks of us. This is the true depths of freedom, because to put it in the words of the great folk singer Bob Dylan, you're going to have to serve somebody. That was the choice that's laid before each of us. Who will we serve? Will we serve the desires of our flesh? Will we just serve the ultimate ends of our culture? Or will we choose to turn to our Blessed Mother? By reflecting upon the beads of the rosary, by turning to her example, and ultimately entrusting ourselves to the will of God, will we find true freedom, the true ends for which we were made, and carry out obediently the will of God? Because that is where her beauty comes from. That is why she is the freest of the free. She comes to do the will of her Heavenly Father. She comes to bear to us our Savior. It is through her obedience, her love, her desire to carry out God's will, that you and I are saved, that we are given a Savior. In this moment of the Incarnation that we celebrate today, it is Mary's ultimate obedience that makes it all possible, that brings it into this world. Without her, it could have never happened. Without her, the Lord does not become incarnate in her womb. Without her, he's not brought to birth while she still maintains her virginity. Without her, he is not brought to full stature of manhood. Without her, we cannot come to ultimately follow our Lord today. She is the handmaid of the Lord, and she holds us in hand, that if we follow her, if we take her in hand, we can be sure to walk in the steps of her Son. We can be sure to follow the will of our Divine Father, to be obedient to him no matter what. And it is all through Mary that this has come to us.